Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and I know you're looking at your clock or your watch or your phone going, wait, it's 5 o'clock. Why are they starting late? Well, this is that.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dan is tied up with the Christmas holiday today and tomorrow. So, hey, Schomburg Stu was nice enough to come by and fill in. How you doing, Stu?
I'm doing okay, and I hope I'm not confusing too many people by coming on Tuesday instead of Friday.
Yeah, we're going to confuse everybody, you know, just kind of the way we do things. But, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so we'll get something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, unfortunately, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward anything along to Stu that you might want to tell him. So, all right, we are off and running, Stu, and we had some, I guess you could call it breaking news in the baseball world. The Phillies hired a general manager, and it was none other than former Cub great Sam Fold. So the former Cub outfielder is now the Philly general manager. What do you think of that?
Well, I hope he does a better job as a general manager than he did in the field. He had a few decent years, I guess. He was kind of a fringe ball player. But I'm surprised that he would get a job at his young and tender age, relatively speaking. Don't they normally hire someone a little older for that kind of position?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they brought in Dave Dombrowski as president, so I think going younger kind of works for them here. You know, it can give Fold a chance to learn under a guy who's, you know, done the job for a very long, you know, done the general manager's job for a very long time. You know, he had some success in Detroit, and then he had a little bit of success in Boston. You know, he's been out of the game a little bit. So it's a good, you know, I think kind of a way to develop it. My guess is Dombrowski will make the majority of the baseball decisions, and Fold will just kind of learn as things go on. So.
And what about this team itself? Are they good enough to compete for at least a wild card spot in the playoffs? I'm not quite sure if that's true or not.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't look like it now, but with so many questions, you know, who's going to sign where, who's going to do what, you can't just say, well, no, they're not going to compete, because we don't know what they're going to look like come, you know, even spring training in February. So,
right, and they,
you know,
I don't think MLB has even established whether or not there'll be how many games are going to be this season. Will it be a full slate of games? Will it be a little shorter than normal, or at least more than 2020? I don't know the answer just yet.
Yeah. And unfortunately nobody does, you know, they haven't said, you know, the memo came out that, you know, everybody was told that spring training was going to start on time in February, but that was the last we heard of anything. So, you know, we have no idea, you know, what it's going to actually look like until we get to what would be opening day and see if it actually happens. The owners have suggested possibly moving things back, you know, delaying the start of the season, but that hasn't been approved by the Players Association because, of course, when the owners said move the season back, they also said prorate the salaries. And I don't know how well that's going to sit with the Players Association. So we'll see where that goes.
And did they, when they mentioned possibly moving the season back, did they say how long it would be moved back?
No.
Late April,
no,
it, May, June?
Yeah, there was no date. Yeah, no date involved. They just mentioned possibly moving it back. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, you know, I pulled up the Phillies roster, and, you know, they have, you know, a really solid everyday lineup, even if they don't bring back JT Realmuto. You know, they'll get a healthy Andrew McCutchen. Alec Brohm looks like the real thing at third base. Obviously, you got Harper and Hoskins. Gene Segura can hit. You know, they would probably be looking for a catcher. Otherwise, Andrew Knapp would have to be the everyday guy, and I don't see that happening. Then Scott Kingery would take over full-time at second base, which isn't a bad move. And then, like, this lineup has Roman Quinn as the starting center fielder. I don't believe that would be the case. I believe it would probably be Adam Halsey, who's been a prospect for them. You know, the rotation isn't terrible, even when, you know, once you pull Jake Arrieta out of it, who didn't give him much, you're looking at Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, and Zach Eflin. So three solid ones. Vince Velasquez has been up and down, and then they have Spencer Howard at number five that I don't know much about. But being that he's just 24, who knows if he would actually get the role. They needed bullpen help last year and didn't get it. They're going to need it again this year. So we'll see how that goes. But it's not a, you know, they're, you know, like, Fold isn't walking into a terrible situation. It's not something where he's going to have to rebuild it. So, it the team should compete at least for a wild card.
Possibly. I don't see him any more than third place in their division, but they still have a shot at it, I think.
So, you know, and especially if they can, you know, fix the bullpen, which you could really say about just about every single team. I mean, even the Dodgers have bullpen issues because nobody knows if Kenley Jansen is still going to be able to close this year. So, you know, that'll be the big question. And, you know, we'll see how they plug their holes and what they do at catcher. It will be interesting to see if they do end up paying Realmuto, who wants a big money deal. So it could be, you know, just one of those things where they decide to go another way and sign a veteran guy to work with, you know, work with Knapp, or possibly trade for Tucker Barnhart, because it looks like for whatever reason the Reds are cleaning house. So maybe they go that way.
Yeah, it's funny about the Reds, isn't it? Everybody had high expectations for them and thought they were going to be almost a dominant team in the NL Central, and now we're looking at fourth place probably once again for them.
Yeah,
in 2021.
You know, I don't understand why they're going this route, and I know you were really high on them last year.
Yes.
You know, I remember you thinking they had a really big shot, but, you know, I can't say I'm surprised that they're not in the Trevor Bauer Derby. I mean, we're talking a lot of money there, but, you know, they still have a really good everyday lineup. So, you know, they would probably have to bring in another starter, but when you've got Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo at the top of your rotation, you could compete, especially in the NL Central. It's not like there's a dominant team, but now both Gray and Castillo have been in trade rumors. I don't know what the hell they're going to do if they deal both of those guys.
Yeah, and I wish I would someone would explain to me why those guys are involved in trade rumors. Why would Cincinnati consider dealing them? I can't figure it out.
Yeah,
myself.
You know, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it here, and Gray has a very manageable contract, especially in today's market. He's got 2 years at 10.66667 million, and then he's got a club option for 12.5. Castillo still has 2 years of arbitration left after this season, and he's only scheduled to make about $4.5 million this year. So it's not like we're talking about a couple of break the bank. You know, we've got to dump these salary guys. You know, and I know Castillo struggled a little bit last year, but Gray had a great season, and he's only 31. So I don't know, you know, what they're looking at here. You know, they moved their closer. You know, they've already dealt him. We know Trevor Bauer isn't coming back. You know, Anthony DeSclafani ended up signing with the Giants. So if they were to move, you know, if they actually did move Sonny Gray and Castillo, basically they would be coming into this season with just about nobody who made starts for them last year. I want to double check that here. So before I jump in, yeah, they would have Tyler Molly, who started 9 games, and Wade Miley, who started 4.
Yeah, and that's
so
good.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're having some financial problems behind the scenes that we're not aware of.
Yeah, you know, you've got to almost think that's it. But, you know, when you kind of look at it, there are guys on this team making a whole lot more money than Sonny Gray. I mean, you got Mike Moustakas, Nick Castellanos, and Joey Votto, who make way more money than Sonny Gray does. You know, and it almost seems like they're just stripping down their pitching staff. And it's the strangest thing. And I don't know, you know, I know they had a really high draft pick that they took. I want to say Hunter Green. I want to double check the name here, but I think that's it. You know, and I was wondering if maybe he was ready, but I don't think so. Yeah, here he is, Hunter Green. He's only projected to be in high class A, so I don't think he's ready to come up. They do have 4 pitching prospects at Triple A, but it would be rough going into the year with, you know, here you go, you got 4 prospects and Wade Miley or Tyler Molly as your rotation. That's not the key to success.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure the Cincinnati fan base can't be too happy about what's been going on. And if these things actually happen, if they're peddling those 2 pitchers, that'll make them doubly unhappy. So I can't figure out what's going on unless, as we suggest, they're having some problems financially.
So, yeah, you know, because, I mean, you look at their everyday lineup, and they're going to need a shortstop, you know, because so they would have to figure that out. But, you know, their everyday lineup is really solid, and they should hit the ball and score some runs. But, you know, again, you know, you're not going to beat everybody 15-14. So,
especially in their ballpark, which is quite hitter-friendly anyway. So they
right.
do seem to still have a good lineup. And that's why I was so high on them. But, boy, if they made these deals and get rid of their starting pitching like that, as I said, that we have to change our mind about where they're going to wind up in 2021.
Yeah. You know, yeah, they would be trading, let's see, 22-30. They'd be trading if they do move Castillo and Gray – they would have lost 41 of the 60 starts that were made for them between Bauer, Castillo, Gray, and DeSclafani. So imagine that. I mean, that's just a whole revamp of the starting rotation. And then your closer, who had 8 saves last year and a 2.74 ERA, is already gone. So I don't know who, you know, it seems like Amir Garrett is going to be the guy to get the first shot at that role, but he's unproven, so you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a weird situation.
It really is, and from a team that looks so promising and seemed to have finally turned the corner after so many years of being a subpar team, and to see this turnaround, and it could happen, it's mystifying. It's surprising to me. But we have to find out what's going on behind the scenes before we make a more efficient decision about what's going on there in Cincinnati. But it doesn't look good for them right now.
No, I mean, it's really an odd, you know, just kind of an odd move. It's like we'll spend all our money on our lineups, but then we're going to go cheap with pitching.
Yeah, and even in today's offense-minded baseball, pitching is still important. I mean, let's face facts. If you don't have a good starting pitching staff, no matter how much you hit, you're not going to go anywhere at all.
Yeah, no, and like I said, it just doesn't. Looking at it, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, when I see it, and it's just kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? So,
I'd like to see some of the so-called experts come up with their ideas of what's been going on in Cincinnati right now.
Yeah, no, you know, there hasn't been much talk about them. I know the, you know, I'm guessing because the MLB Network is located in New Jersey, they like to talk about the New York team. So the Mets are getting a lot of pub. You know, and today they signed Noah Syndergaard to avoid arbitration. He'll get $9.7 million. Now, he's not due to pitch until June because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery.
Right.
But, no, that's still not a bad signing for them at all. And, you know, with the new owner, they're rumored to be spending a ton of money. If they do land Trevor Bauer, you know, and come June, they have Jacob DeGrom, Trevor Bauer, Marcus Stroman, and Noah Syndergaard 1-4. I think you could be their fifth starter, and they would compete.
The only problem with the New York Mets is that for some reason they just are injury prone, and they never seem to have a healthy team for the full course of the season. If they did have a healthy team, well, they could certainly compete, if maybe not beating Atlanta out, at least competing for a wild card slot.
So, yeah, and there was some talk yesterday when that Castillo rumor came out that the Mets were actually one of the teams in line to try to make an offer. So, and, you know, they have basically an extra shortstop in Ahmed Rosario now that the Reds could really use. So if they could package Rosario along with a couple other prospects, they may be the team to land Castillo. And then, you know, you slot him in, even if they don't sign Bauer, then they're, you know, you're looking at a team that's, you know, looks like they're ready to roll. Again, as long as they stay healthy, but you know, that's one of those things, you could say that about every team. Hey, as long as this team stays healthy. So we'll see.
Yeah, but,
they've
had their share of injuries over the last 4 or 5 years, though. It seems to me that more so than most teams.
Yeah, and then if they did add George Springer, which is another one of the rumors, boy, that could really set this team up to compete with the Braves, who – you know, don't look like they're going to bring Ozuna back, so that would leave a big hole for them. You know, and I know the other hot Met rumor is they're apparently looking into this Japanese reliever, and I'm going to go with Tamayuki Sagano. So, yeah, and I mean, you look at his numbers, and again, this is Japan. He made 20 appearances last year. Actually, he was a starter last year. 20 appearances, 137 and a third innings. He was 14-2 with a 1.97 ERA. So that, you know, again, and I know it doesn't always transfer to success in the majors, but those are really good numbers.
They are good numbers, but I've grown very skeptical about those good numbers coming out of Japan over the years. Yeah, granted, they've had a few players that have come up and lived up to the hype, but how many have failed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but you've got to, you know, it's one of those things where it could be, you know, a better situation for him if he's come in and he's not asked to be the number one and, you know, go out and have to compete against everybody else's top pitcher. So, you know, if he's sitting in your rotation at three or four, you know, it could be a pretty solid sign. And again, I mean, I'm sure a lot's going to depend on if they do get Bauer or if they do sign Cass or if they do trade for Castillo. But, you know, it's just, again, it's another one of the rumors that are kind of floating around out there because the Mets seem to be serious to, you know, not only upgrading their team, but upgrading their pitching rotation.
Well, I've got a feeling that a lot of these rumors are going to be turn out to be true because I think the current management is not going to be frugal when it comes to paying money out to free agents. They want to compete with the Yankees. They got a huge fan base there in New York, major, major market, and they had success for so many years, and I think they want to get back again and start to compete against the Yankees in the market.
Yeah, no, you would think, you know, obviously that and the fact that it would be nice to, you know, compete in their division, which is tough. You know, you got to go up against the Braves and, you know, everybody in that division with the exception of the Marlins, who I don't think will play like they did last year. You know, that should be, you know, a good division 1-4. You know, even the Nationals, if you have a healthy Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin, you can compete with anybody in a series. So it's, you know, it's a tough division, and if they make those adds, well, then, you know, we'll see. But, you know, the Braves themselves, and you do wonder, you know, when are they going to finally bring up somebody that doesn't work out? You know, I know they had some trouble with Fultonewicz last year, but they brought up Ian Anderson, and he was pretty much lights out. They do have some holes in the bullpen. You know, Mark Melancon, who kind of got his groove back and a closer as a free agent. But, you know, they still have Will Smith, so he can step into that role. You know, it's just you look at their lineup, and, you know, there's some holes. You know, they're either going to have to bring in a left fielder, because right now it's Ender Inciarte, who looks like the projected starter, or they're going to have to bring in a third baseman and move Austin Riley back to left field. So it's, you know, they're not unbeatable, I guess would be the way to look at it. So we'll see how that
right.
works.
They're not going to be as strong as they were for the last couple of years, but I still think they're going to be strong enough to win the division.
Yeah, well, you know, right now they look like it. I mean, obviously it's going to be depending on, you know, if the Mets make big adds, you know, then they could obviously compete. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And, again, you know, there's just so many ifs and buts about who's going to do what and, you know, what move they're going to make. But it should be a pretty competitive division. And, you know, we'll see how, you know, how things go. And I did see that your favorite team made a move today as the Cubs claimed Philip Ervin off waivers from the Mariners today. He, you know, he spent the majority of his career with the Reds until I believe they designated him last year. Yeah, he spent parts of four seasons with the Reds, and then Seattle picked him up after he was designated for assignment by them. But yeah, he's a, you know, he's an outfielder. He's just basically a backup guy. He's a career 247 hitter, so he should fit right in with what the Cubs do, I guess.
Yeah, they certainly not made very exciting moves in the offseason. They also got a pitcher, too, didn't they, and who doesn't look like he's all that great, but maybe he'll work out in the bullpen. Who knows?
Yeah, I believe it was Jonathan Holder was the
right, correct.
The pitcher that night.
Correct.
So we'll see
how that goes. Yeah, he's mediocre. He's mediocre, which is about what they're doing right now in terms of their bullpen anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, and unfortunately, that's what everybody is doing right now. There were a lot of signings today of, like, names you've seen in the majors, like the Red Sox re-signed Stephen Gonsolves. Not a big name. The Padres picked up Nick Birdie and Nick Ramirez. Again, not big names. These are just guys who are middle relievers that float around from almost team to team and just fill out bullpens. So it's kind of we're at that point where teams aren't going to spend any money. And like the Indians brought back Nick Whitgren, who's pitched pretty well for them. So, yeah, it's just we're looking at that thing like, yeah, here you go. This is where we are at that point. There aren't any huge signings to make, and this is the news we have to report on.
Yeah, if spring training actually starts on time, do you think there'll be some major signings then, right before spring training starts?
You know, I think a lot is going to depend on if they announce when the regular season will start. You know, because if you're going into spring training and you still don't know, you know, if that season is going to start at the end of April or whenever they start now, I swear to God, I think they start in February sometimes. But, yeah, then I can see the teams spending their money. If not, it may be a little while, even into spring training, before we see the bigger names come off the board. What would obviously help is if we could get somebody signed, that may actually get the market moving.
Yeah, that would seem to trigger it. I think you're right. If there was a major signing, maybe that would start the thing rolling a little bit.
So, yeah, you know, if we could get the Mets who are rumored to be in on all these big free agents, if they could come to an agreement with a George Springer or a Trevor Bauer, you know, or if the Blue Jays could land Bauer because they're the other team who's been associated with him for a while, you know, then I think the rest of the market, it would be like, oh, okay, well, we can't sit on our hands anymore. You know, and I really think baseball needs to find a way to get this market going so we don't have this downtime where everybody just kind of sits around and it's like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, no, nobody cares. Let's just go and, you know, get on with our lives. They need to find a way to kind of keep everything in the limelight, be it a free agent signing period or something they could work out to get the market going.
Or are we going to hear the dreaded collusion word again, saying yeah, they're trying to suppress these deals?
Yeah, that will definitely come up here as we get closer and closer with no signings, but it may be a little harder to prove this year considering every team lost millions of dollars last year with the COVID-19 outbreak and the shortened season. So I don't think that would hold as much water as it used to.
That's true. And you know that I know that for years now there's been some kind of catastrophic insurance that the players, the team that the owners have had in place, say there was a plane crash, that they have some kind of insurance in play that would reimburse them so they could start over again. I'm wondering if they had anything for the COVID I mean, is there anything in their insurance coverage that would cover something like that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear anything about that, so I don't know, you know, if they actually had something on the books or if the insurance they carry in general covered something like that. But if I had to guess, I would say no, you know, because nobody was expecting a pandemic.
No.
You know,
true.
I know you cover for a lot of things, but I don't think anybody had that one on the books. So.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they can write these things in vague language so that they can interpret it to their satisfaction, saying,
yeah,
hey, Clause 47 says this. Now, does that mean that they could work around that and have some kind of money coming in from the insurance company because of this, because of the language? Probably not, though, as you say. It's unforeseen and probably not, even in the obscure language, some of the stuff is written and it probably doesn't cover anything like that. So, yeah, it was a pretty bleak year all the way around, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, unfortunately, it was just the, you know, the strangest of years, and you know, I'm sure everybody's glad to get it over here. I'll get it over here in a week. So,
yeah, it's been pretty bleak, and but I know you're looking forward to the start of the NBA anyway to shake away the blues a little bit.
Oh yeah, tonight we get rolling. We have our two games. They start as soon as you and I get off the air. You know, TNT has the doubleheader tonight to get rolling. They open with the Golden State Warriors at the Brooklyn Nets, and then the nightcap is the Los Angeles Clippers, technically at the Los Angeles Lakers, even though they play in the same building. I'm sure the Clippers will be excited to sit through the ring ceremony and watch all that fun stuff. But yeah, it definitely, nothing I'll be watching because the NBA is a joke, but it is starting.
I got the impression that the ratings are going to be pretty bad for tonight's games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The ratings are going to stink all year. I mean, can you come up with one reason to watch the NBA regular season when everything is geared for the playoffs and in reality, it still looks like they have it set for the Lakers to win it all again?
The only time I think I would watch a game in the regular season, maybe if it's a tie game with 2 minutes to play. Of course, that'll probably take about 45 minutes before they complete it anyway.
At least, yeah. So, you know, definitely at least 45 minutes, if not longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just.
It is what it is. And let's face, let's be optimistic because your favorite team, the Bulls, start tomorrow, their first game of the season.
Yeah, I saw where they are. They're power ranked as the 24th best team in the NBA. They have them projected to go 28-44. So.
Well, that's pretty close to my estimate, right? We talked about this. I said that 30 games. I think they might win 30 games this season. So I'm not that far off in my prediction.
No, you know, and I mean, I think everybody knows that, or anybody who watches or roots for the Bulls and stuff knows that they're not going to be a very good team. And you know, they may find a way to sneak into the bottom of the playoffs in the East, but they're not beating anybody. You know, they're not pulling off a 8-1 upset or a 7-2 upset or anything like that. So
I do feel good about their coach, though. I think that for the first time since Thibodeau, they have a decent coach at the helm, and I'm not sure how much that'll help, but it's good to have someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, and you would like to think that is going to help, but in reality, I doubt it. I mean, there's just a lack of talent on the team, and there's You know, there's no way a coach is going to make up for that. I mean, he can coach them up, but there's a level of obviously where it's going to go and where their ceiling kind of is. And until they can either land an actual top draft pick, not end up getting bumped down or however, it works out, or they can somehow con a big time free agent into coming to Chicago, which just hasn't worked lately. They're not going to be anything. So
I think Williams might become a decent player. I'm not saying he's a world beater, but I think he'll be adequate in time.
I think you said the same thing about White, though, so I'm beginning to wonder about your scouting.
Yeah, my scouting hasn't been very good lately. I figure I'm due one time to get something right.
Yeah, and to be fair, I actually have seen, other shows, television shows and stuff, where they're really high on Coby White. And they really think he has a chance to be a breakout player for the Bulls this year. And I don't watch enough of it to actually know. So, it would be nice if they were good, and Chicago could have something to root for instead of just having to sit around and wait for baseball season. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think the basketball team, local basketball team, or the local hockey team is going to turn things around this season, that's for sure.
No. I fully expect the Blackhawks to find their way in the playoffs again, but they're not winning a Stanley Cup. So.
No. If they even win one round, I believe win one round this season, I don't know.
Well, they managed to win around last year, so maybe.
Yeah, last year was a crazy season. I don't even know if we can even count last year as a normal type season. But yeah, they surprised everybody. Went around. They looked pretty good, and that was exciting. But we'll see if they can do it again this season.
So yeah, and then I heard this story earlier, and I got to tell you, I'm actually not surprised by this at all, but apparently there is tension between James Harden and his Houston Rocket teammates. They mentioned that on Sunday and Monday during practice, Harden had some pretty heated exchanges and actually threw a basketball at one of the guys. It's Jay Sean Tate, who's probably going to be a bench player for the Rockets this year. I know the Rockets have been in no hurry to move him, and they're asking a lot for him in return, and I can't blame them. You don't want to give a player like James Harden away, but how long can they ride this out before basically one of his teammates punches him in the face and he misses games due to injury?
Well, he's always had that kind of a personality, although he can't take away his talent, that's for sure. Did they disclose what the problem was, what the argument was about? Or was it a lack of intensity on his teammates, or what?
They just used the term heated exchange. So, that's just what you're getting. They don't go into any kind of real detail on what happened, so...
Yeah, he has always been a volatile player, but as I said before, he's extremely talented basketball player. Can't take that away from him.
No, but when you're causing trouble, and the Rockets, they should still be a playoff team. There should be no issue there, but you have to wonder, if he continues to cause dissension because he wants to get out of there. How long can they hang on to him before they got to suspend him, or they just got to do something with him to stop hurting the team?
Yeah, and at this stage, can they actually get something of equal value in return? I'm not quite sure that's going to happen.
Well, they should be able to because he does have years on his contract. You know, we're not talking about a guy who's in the last year of his deal. You know, he actually has, I think, this year and next year. So you're going to get a guy who's going to be there, not a guy who's just going to walk away. So it, you know, there is some value there, and that's part of the reason why the Rockets haven't just given him away. You know, they're asking for a young superstar in return, and then multiple first-round draft picks.
Well, you'd have to think that the only teams that would be interested in getting him are a team that maybe one player away from being an actual bona fide contender to win it all. There aren't that many of them around.
No, you know, and then obviously he hasn't helped his cause by saying he's only interested in going to the Nets or the 76ers. You know, so that locks out, what, 29 other teams that just aren't even going to show any interest in him because he doesn't want to play there?
Did he ever explain why those are the only teams he wants to play for if a trade is made?
You know, like every other superstar in the NBA, he must be buddies with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So he wants to go to Brooklyn. And my guess with going to Philadelphia is Daryl Morey, who ran the Rockets and gave Harden everything he could ever wanted, is now the 76ers general manager. So he probably wants to go back with him, knowing he can basically just tell him how to run the team.
Yeah, well, you talk about a sport that's player oriented, and the NBA has to be number one.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there, you know, I mean, it was to the point when LeBron was in Cleveland, he basically ran the team, and they did whatever he told them to. So, you know, and look at the position he put them in. I mean, they're going to be bad for a very long time, and you know, he had them sign players to just some horrible contracts because he was their buddy and he wanted them to get paid.
Well, yeah, he moves where the titles are. And I think that, like you said, I think we're going to wind up seeing him in the finals again this year.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, there's no doubt that the league has laid out a clear path for the Lakers to go back because they believe, you know, they fully believe LeBron solves their ratings problem, even though it didn't last year. And the weird part about last year is it's not like people had a lot of options. You know, they weren't going out. You couldn't go anywhere, but they weren't turning on the NBA.
Yeah, as we said before, that doesn't denigrate the fact that he's a great basketball player, but he does seem to annoy and antagonize people if he doesn't get his way.
You know, obviously he'll go down as one of the greatest of all time, but you know, in reality, he's not a good person. You know, he's not good for the game like a lot of guys were or are. And it shows in the ratings because nobody wants to watch this guy.
And it doesn't prevent the networks from focusing on him, though, does it?
Oh, no. They think he's the answer. And I don't understand, and, you know, maybe that'll change a little if, like, Zion Williamson gets rolling this year. You know, we may get to see the switch there. But, like, what I can't figure out is now that Giannis Antetokounmpo signed his extension and we know he's going to be staying in Milwaukee, they almost completely stopped talking about him. But yet he's a two-time MVP. And he's the only guy to win MVP and defensive player of the year. You know, only three guys have done that: Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and now Antetokounmpo. But yet, for some reason, all they wanted to talk about was his contract and where he was going to be playing. And now he gets no press because he signed.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I would be very surprised to see if the network will give Milwaukee multiple shots this year in nationally televised games, as they do with LeBron.
So, yeah, and, you know, and it's humorous because in a way you can almost compare this to professional wrestling. What the NBA needs to do is create new stars. But the problem is they're hung up on their old star. and they don't want to let him go. Now, tomorrow, Antetokounmpo is the TNT game, 6:30 against the Celtics, and then it's Dallas at Phoenix is the nightcap on the Mickey Mouse Network. So we'll get to see Luka Doncic, who's another guy I think they're hoping is, you know, going to be up and coming. So we'll, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, they really need to start focusing on developing these new guys because, you know, LeBron is pushing 40. I don't know how long they think he's going to play.
Right, and he's not a youngster. That's right. He's been in the league, what, 20 years or so at least?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, he came straight out of high school, so he would have been in at 18 or 19. So, yeah, he's had a 20-year career, and I know he wants to stay long enough to at least play a season with his son. So, you know, he'll be around a couple more years. He signed for 2 years with the Lakers, and then I believe the kid becomes eligible to draft here soon because, you know, he's coming right out of high school. He's not going to college, and the Lakers are going to draft him as long as LeBron is still there. I don't know why he would go anywhere else. So, you know, that's just how it's going to be.
And how many basketball players have actually played in the NBA at 40 and or 41, 42, if any? Very few.
You know, I think just maybe some of the – when, you know, it was actually important to have, like, a center, maybe there was a player or two that, you know, hung around long enough to do that. But otherwise – well, you know, Vince Carter did play you know, I think he's 40-plus. He played last year. I did find here, just kind of trivialized, the oldest player ever in the NBA was Nate Hickey, who played – he played just one game in the 1947-48 season. He was 40 – he was almost 46 years old. And he was coaching the Providence Steamrollers, and he got into one game as a player. So –
oh, was that that was probably a gimmick type thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, that would be what my, you know, what my guess is. Like Vince Carter was 43 last year when he played. So
how old were they when Chamberlain and Russell retired? Were they in their late 30s? I'm trying to remember now because they had pretty long productive careers.
Here. Yeah, and you do wonder, you know, where they were. Let me see if I can get some career retrospect here quickly on maybe a guy or two.
And Larry Bird also, you know, I think, was pretty – was in his late 30s when he retired, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, let's see what we got here. And Bill Russell, I don't know if this will tell me how old he was, but see if this will give me. It looks like what he stopped playing in 1969. So that was what 41 years ago. Yeah, it looked like he played into his 40s. So.
Yeah, maybe the center's position is more conducive to do that than say, a guard. For sure, a guard would be very difficult for me to see a guard in their early 40s playing, still playing in the NBA.
Yeah, because if I remember, I think Kareem played into his early 40s as well.
That's right, he did also.
No, actually... Russell started in the NBA at age 22, and he stopped at age 34.
Oh, so young.
Very there on that one. Let's see what we got. What do we got on? Chamberlain played till he was 36. And let me think, see what We got on Kareem here. For some reason, I thought Kareem got to 40, but I might be wrong there. Yeah, Kareem played until he was – his last year he was 41. So.
What about Larry Bird? Of course, he wasn't a center, but I thought he was quite up there a little bit when he retired as well. But maybe not 40. I don't think he was 40.
Yeah, I thought due to injury, Bird ended up out a little earlier. He played till he was 35.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you know, he had quite a problem with that back, and now even though, you know, he did miss a few seasons, Michael Jordan actually played at 39 his last year with the Wizards. So.
Yeah, but in between that, there were some period. A couple of years when he didn't play at all.
Well, yeah, he was gone the year for baseball, and then he actually missed 3 years being retired and then came back to play with the Wizards. So, you know,
yeah.
it is what it is. But still, to come back, he played it, came back at 38 and played two seasons. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I think it tarnished him a little bit, though. I think he was not the same player, of course.
No. You know, and Karl Malone did play until he was 40. He had that 1 year he hung on with the Lakers to try to win a championship, and it didn't work out. He was 40 years old then when he did that. So, but yeah, there haven't been too many. You know, and it's understandable that the majority of them are, you know, big men. You know, because that used to be an important part, and you didn't have to, you know, get up and down the court like they do now. You know, it was a slower paced game.
Yeah, I remember. Well before your time, one of the major superstars in the NBA when it first started was George Mikan. And
oh yeah,
he had very little mobility as a basketball player. Very, very. Even in college, his mobility was quite limited.
Yeah, he had a solid NBA career.
Oh, sure he did, but I'm saying that I don't know if he could even compete in today's NBA.
No, you know, and that does hurt a lot of, you know, the guys. You know, now you get the bigger guys that just can't. You know, just can't compete with the smaller up and down the floor kind of pace that's set.
No, absolutely correct.
I did wonder, did Shaq manage to play a year into his 40s? Did he make it? No, he actually stopped at 38. You know, and I think the hard part with a lot of these guys is, you know, they come into the league so young. You know, and they have these big, long careers that you think they get to 40, and they don't.
No, and it's got to be a tremendous wear and tear on the competitive NBA players for their knees to pound up and down the court night after night after night. It just has to take its toll, which is why it looks like that the players who did make it into the early 40s were centers, mostly centers.
Yeah, you know, pretty much, all, you know, almost all of them, with the exception of, you know, Vince Carter, you know, were big men, be it centers or forwards, and not, you know, wing players or point guards or anything like that.
Yeah.
Even Oscar Robertson only played till he was 35.
Yeah, but look at the wear and tear in his body through the course of his career.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder he wrapped it up at 35. I mean, the knees had to be marking on him for sure by then.
Well, you can even see it in his stats, how they slowly start to drop as he gets older. You can kind of tell that there's a lot of wear and tear there.
Yeah. Yep. The toughest opponent is Father Time.
Yeah. You know, there's no way around that, and it's tough. I mean, you know, if luckily if you're good, you can make enough money where you don't have to worry about it. But you know, if you're not, I guess you just got to hope you stay healthy and you can hang on.
Yeah, it, unfortunately, some of the players who are good wind up having financial difficulties after they retire from playing in a professional sport because they don't manage their money wisely enough.
No, and well, here's a guy who almost made it. Moses Malone played when he was 39. Of course, he started in the ABA at 19. So
yeah,
he had a gigantic career. So, yeah, he hung on for a long time, but didn't quite get to 40.
Close enough, though, right? I mean, that's
yeah,
he had a heck of a career. 20-year career
in
pro basketball is a pretty great accomplishment.
So, yeah, it definitely, you know, humongous, you know, with the accolades, you know, these guys get. So,
yeah, it you got to be in trim. Well, of course, you know, you got all the great trainers to help them and then the weight room and everything else, but that still doesn't help when your knees take that pounding night after night after night. Well, as you well know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. It just kind of, it's the nature of the business, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. And my fingers aren't the same now as they were when I played in competitive chess many years ago. And just that wear and tear.
So, yeah, you got to be careful, you know.
Exactly right, exactly right.
You know, so now you didn't say though, are you watching any tonight? Are you going to check out what the NBA has to offer here opening night? Or are you going to save it for the Bulls tomorrow?
I'm going to save it for the Bulls tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, I'll probably like flip by and get a score just to see what they got going. And, you know, like I always do, I watch a minute here or a minute there, but I'm not going to get, in, you know, I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, however many, you know, 8 quarters of basketball. I don't even think I could get behind 1 quarter of basketball. You know, maybe tomorrow with the Bulls, I'll try to stick it out a little longer, but I don't even, who are they playing? Do you know? I don't even know who they open.
I was just going to ask you that question. I know the season, they start their season tomorrow. I believe it's at the United Center. Is it Atlanta? I'm trying to think now. They may be playing Atlanta tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I can check it here real quick. But yeah, I didn't even think to look and see who they were playing or how that kind of works out. But you know, I knew they were playing. That's good enough, right? They were playing, so
they will be playing tomorrow.
We'll see.
But I have a feeling it won't be a capacity crowd, though.
No, probably not. Let's see what we got. Yeah, it's Atlanta at Chicago.
Well, they have a chance to pull an upset tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe. I know Atlanta was one of the teams a lot of people liked, so we'll have to see if, you know, how that works out. But, you know, you never know. Opening night, it could be. Could be some jitters, and maybe the Bulls they'll sneak up on them and get a win.
Yeah, there could be less jitters because there's no fans in attendance. I'm sure that should help them calm down a little bit, especially the whoops, out of time.
Yeah, look at that. Remember, the podcast is available to you to listen to whenever you want. Tune in.